Welcome to Influential Visions Podcast. Here, we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. Hi, I'm Kim Adele, and I'm joined by Nat Schooler, who's my co-host on the exciting new podcast series, Mastering Imposter Syndrome. Hi, Nat.
Hey, Kim. It's absolutely such a pleasure to work with you on this. And imposter syndrome, I had no idea it was such a big thing. It's absolutely huge. And, you know, senior leaders in technology really do struggle with this, the same as everybody else. And I'm absolutely amazed. You know, we've done quite a few of these interviews already, and it's very, very interesting to kind of hear how these people really deal with this on a day-to-day basis.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, imposter syndrome, they say, will impact up to 70% of us at some point in our lives. And often when we're the one feeling that imposter, we think we're on our own. We think we're the only person that has that funny little voice telling us that we're not enough or that we can't do something. And yet, as this series will show, even some of the most influential leaders around the world and within technology, we all face that fear at some point. We all face that little voice that's telling us that we can't do that, whether it's in meetings, whether it's finding our voice, whether it's putting ourselves forward to do something that we really want to do, but we're just not sure we're ready. And the series has already been so insightful in people sharing how, one, they felt that, and two, how they've overcome it. So I'm excited to see how this series is going to help other people when they're facing their imposter to actually master it and go and live the life they want to.
Yeah, very much so. And I mean, I think, you know, I knew nothing about this, but I've kind of been studying self-development for sort of about 10 years, maybe 12 years on a kind of, you know, more intimate level, right? And it's actually quite amazing, like when you speak to different people and how they actually deal with this is different for each individual, right? Like, I mean, I know some people, like, they have their morning routine and they get up and they have a cold shower, or they drink their coffee and have an orange juice, then they have a cold shower and they exercise. And but like, dealing with imposter syndrome is very much like that. Like, everyone has a different kind of angle to it, and I've just found it very interesting, you know, especially like talking with Jane Archbold, CEO, that's been very interesting, and how she sort of, you know, really dislikes kind of face-to-face networking events and how she feels vulnerable there. And, you know, and I just found that interview quite interesting. I mean, they've all been very interesting. And, you know, in particular, I like the way that the leaders that we've spoken to are just like, well, look, you just got to get on with it. You can't just wallow in this kind of space of, like, it's almost like you feel sorry for yourself. Like, you can't wallow in it, right? Because the more you wallow in that, oh, look at me, you know, and complain almost to yourself, the more you kind of think about it, and then the more momentum that those thoughts kind of build. So you've almost got to just not switch off that inner imposter, because you're probably never going to switch it off, because there are always these thoughts that come up that you need to kind of deal with. But going through the process that you taught me has been so helpful for like, you know, waking up in the morning, maybe, you know, while I'm doing my exercise, I might have this thought of, you know, something bad from when I was a child. And actually following the process, the 7-step process that you outlined in our workshop that we did, it's been so interesting, really, really useful.
Yeah, no, and you're right. I think, you know, it is different for everybody. You know, the questions that we ask and how we're going to overcome it is very different, but the steps can be the same. So how you'll apply the steps are very different. And I think that comes out, it rings out in all of the interviews that we've done, which is that how they've almost been able to force themselves to do it anyway, to say, I'm not going to listen to that voice, I'm going to do it. And actually what we find often is you have lots of people who outwardly look extremely successful, and you assume, well, it's all right for them. They never feel like this. They never doubt themselves. They never have any challenges. And the reality is that's not true. We all do have those. I believe, you know, everybody has something that they're vulnerable about, something that they hope nobody finds out. And our little inner imposter yells that at you all the time. I know for myself, having done this, but that's why I think this series is so great to be part of, because we're learning that actually, one, we're not in it on our own. We're not the only person that has that little voice. And that actually there's so many ways and examples that you can quieten that little voice and go on to be really successful. And I think that's, for me, the key part of this. It's why we're both doing it, isn't it? To help people and to free them to go and enjoy their life rather than deal with living under that constant beration of yourself for not being enough. And I think that probably is a great way to end and segue into our first episode, which is with, as you've already mentioned, one of your favourites, the fabulous Jane Archbold. So shall we go to her interview?
We are privileged to be joined by Jane Archbold. Hopefully I've pronounced Archbold right.
Yep.
And you are a seasoned executive with a record of driving product innovation, operational transformation, integration of acquisitions, and delivering business growth. Currently, you're the CEO and managing partner of Iptor, a global ERP provider with an HQ in Sweden. So, and you were formerly at Sage for 18 years, latest position CEO Europe mid-market. And you're also a non-executive director and investor in Notify Technologies and Sabre, which are two UK startups. And you are passionate about people and making a difference, which is great. So thank you, Jane, for joining us. I'm quite excited about this whole series, actually. And yeah, it's we learn so much from talking about this important topic.
Okay. Fabulous, Nathaniel. Thanks. So that's the sort of glossy part of Jane. What I would also add to that is I am from Newcastle upon Tyne, which I'm very proud of, proud to be a Geordie, but actually living now here in the Cotswolds and on lockdown, so quite a challenging time for me, as it is for many people, because I'm usually travelling around with a global business. I'm also stepmother to four grown-up sons. Recently had a new grandson and two dogs. So that's a little bit more about the real Jane, as I would say, as well.
Oh, I love it. And Jane, I mean, we've known each other. Oh, we were just chatting. It's been 8 years since we last saw each other. I would absolutely say, you know, your people skills and your leadership, you're renowned for. And you demonstrate that daily, how you show up and coming on here and sharing with us your journey is a real example of that. So I really appreciate it. But could you give us a little bit about your journey and kind of any challenges that you've had to overcome?
Yeah, and I'll take us back. So back when I was in a sort of probably my late 20s, I joined Sage, and I was sort of headhunted at the time. I was working in a different sector. Sage were going through a huge amount of growth, and I had this exciting opportunity to join. And I was pretty apprehensive. It was local, so I drive to work, knew quite a few people there. But my boss at the time actually was quite intimidating. And this is probably where it starts in terms of that sort of inner voice. And the lady was fantastic at what she did. But I kind of felt pretty intimidated that she wanted me to be a certain way. And I actually went on for probably 2 years trying to be this person that someone else wanted me to be. And I'm sure that people can resonate with that. And it was actually a self-reflection time. I was kind of really reflecting, business is going well. I was doing well, managing teams of people, business was going through growth, but I just wasn't really happy. And I didn't feel that for me, I was making a biggest difference, and I wasn't really realizing my potential as much. And when I thought about that, and I thought, I'm just not happy. And why wasn't I happy? And it was because I wasn't being myself. And I call this the sort of Jane epiphany moment. I remember lying in the dark, listening to some music on the floor in my lounge, just reflecting on all of this, and I thought, you just need to be yourself. And actually, if being me isn't good enough, then that's actually okay. And for me, that was quite a brave thing to do. Sort of, I was probably 28, 29 at that point. And actually, from that moment on, I would say that's probably been the turning point in my life, both professionally and at home as well. So the authenticity, and actually it's okay to be you, probably is was my starting point.
Oh, I love that. And that so resonates. I remember also spending many years trying to be the version that people wanted you to be, and looking around at all these amazing corporate people and going, oh my God, I don't fit in.
Yeah.
And then you start to try and be something you're not, don't you?
Yeah. And linked to that, you know, I then was sort of working in this environment and thought, okay, I'm now okay. It's all right to be just Jane. And then having to go to networking events, and this even today is, I get that feeling in my stomach where I think, oh my God, I hate this. So walking into a room, usually in an evening, mostly men who I've never ever met before, and having to walk in and be expected to network. One of my, just, I hate it. Even now, I absolutely hate it. But back then, I used to get myself into such a state, and this usually would be involved in London. So I'd be on the train going from Newcastle to London, getting myself into such a frenzy about it. And I did that for years. And my coping mechanism at the time was to think, okay, let me just think of three interesting things to talk about, and I'll go in and I'll be okay. And then as soon as I walked in the door and saw this sea of men and thought, oh my God, I don't want to be here. And what time is it so I can get out? So my key thing there is, that's never gone away. It's still here now. And, you know, I've been round the block a few times, you know, at my age now and running different businesses. Again, it's back to being myself and just thinking, you know, this is okay. But then thinking, what am I going to get out of this networking session? What can I give to the session? And thinking about that in a very different way. And also just having a few little, if it goes silent, what are the topical things that I'm going to talk about? So I always have a few little news things that I might be interested in my back pocket. But even back to that point, my first networking, I used to be terrified. Actually, I got coached around this because I had this hang up about being from the Northeast and people are not going to, you know, think that I'm intelligent enough, or I'm sort of from some sort of, you know, backwater, you know, God only knows where the hell she's from. And I really had that. That was my internal hang up. And until I chose to let go of that, which I did get through coaching. And actually, I remember the coach at the time saying, look, there's nothing wrong with Newcastle. You've got Anton Deck, you've got Alan Shearer and all these great things. And now you've got Jane Archibald. And I thought, actually, do you know what? Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, that's another side to it.
Very interesting. Very interesting. So when do you feel most vulnerable, Jane?
I feel most vulnerable when I'm walking into a meeting where, and it's my perception, that I'm with highly intelligent people, usually on more of a sort of mathematical or scientific side, which in the technology sector, there's a lot of those people. So my background is not product. So I am a commercial business person, deliver through other people. I do not code. I don't know the latest things around technology. I know enough to run a business. But my sort of fear is if I walk into a room and it's highly intellectual tech type conversation, that's kind of makes me very vulnerable and very nervous.
Me too. I can't actually bear that sort of conversation, and ERP as well. Like, yeah. It's very tough, right? Like I've sort of written a few blogs for Oracle around ERP, and you know, to start with, I was like, well, what, you know, what do I write about? It took a lot of work and a lot of investigation to actually learn how to communicate around it. I mean, but these acronyms, they're the biggest mistake, the biggest problem. And it's like they just want to blow smoke up their asses, these people. I'm sorry to say. Like, I can say that. It's my show.
Absolutely, Nathaniel, I love it, and you're welcome to my world. So that's what I'm surrounded with. So for me, it's about knowing enough, but I'm not never pretending that I'm the expert, and not being frightened to ask the questions. So if they're coming out with this bloody jargon and I have no clue what it is, actually saying, look, can you just explain this to me in layman's terms? The worst that I could do years ago, I used to just sit there with a little smile on my face and pretend I knew what they were talking about, and I had no bloody clue. So I think that's really important. you know, that I'm aware of this, so I don't know all the details, label that I'm not a tech person. I'll give what my contribution is and then ask questions if I'm not sure. But yeah, it's not the most exciting. If I was you, I'd rather be writing about, you know, the planet or even shoes and handbags or holidays or something wishful rather than ERP. But hey, adds benefit to people's businesses.
But I wrote about the Medici family.
Yeah.
And how they sort of interact and brought that into accountancy, you see, the first formalized ledger system and stuff. So it was quite, yeah, one of them was quite good. I enjoyed it, you know.
Good. Good. Well, I like to think with ERP, we make a difference. I don't just think about this as pure tech. So I was explaining to someone the other day, you know, what do you really do? And it was actually, it was one of my friend's children. So I try to explain, I mean, how do you explain to a seven-year-old child that you run a business that's ERP? So what I did was explaining that actually what my business does is actually help people. And how do we help people? So our ERP is actually really there around businesses who are heavily distribution centric. So, and we're focusing on the pharma space right now. So to be able to get a drug, so somebody, you know, calls a hospital, they need a drug and it's not available. They need it to get from one state in the US to the other. Our software enables that to happen and be there within, you know, 7 hours, and it can be tracked and traced all the way through. That's what I like to think that I do in simple terms. That's nice. How I explain it to a child. There you go.
That must have been quite exciting for that child. I would be excited. The concept of that is exciting, yeah. Right? So when it comes to like your imposter syndrome, yeah, how do you manage it? Like when you go through these voices in your, not voices, but the inner voice, right, in your head that's saying, oh, I shouldn't be here, like I'm not amazing enough and like that kind of thing. Like what do you do to manage that?
Okay. The first thing is being mindful of when that situation is going to happen. So usually you're aware that you're going to go into a meeting, or for me, it's one of those networking sessions, and it's about preparation. So I know I don't like it. I'm never, well, maybe limiting belief, but I know I'm not going to like it. So I have to then firstly prepare. So it's about understanding, you know, what's the worst that could happen, and let me prepare for the best outcome. And the best outcome for me, so I'm looking at going to a networking event, I'm thinking I've got to spend an hour of my life under, you know, talking to some people. How can I give the most and get the best out of it? So that preparation and just acknowledging that it might not be your forte, and that it's okay not to be perfect. For me, it's pretty basic and it's as simple as that. And it comes back to just being myself.
I love that. And that's such great advice, because I think it is that whole part that says, actually, if you can shift your framing of it, like, you know, you're turning it into a, how do I add some value and gain some value because I'm trading an hour of my life, puts you in a different place, doesn't it? Because yep. It's like, well, actually, I'm just going to add. And I loved also the bit you said earlier about just ask the questions, because actually you won't be the only person in the room that doesn't know what they're talking, you know, that doesn't know what the other person is talking about. So actually, and it's often in those questions, isn't it, that you find the nugget that's going to move it forward.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I've focused a bit around that networking. There are other examples that I've got where, you know, it's different to that. You know, earlier this year, Christopher Kaderfeld, who works with me at Ipto, we decided to do a management buyout backed by a German investment firm. Before getting into that, you know, we met a series of investors. And you're putting yourself on this beauty parade. And again, to get through that, it was all about, okay, let's be authentic. Let's be very open, honest, transparent about, you know, what we're looking to achieve here. That then puts me in a comfort zone. Of course, within that, you get what I call the hairdryer effect of just questioning on every damn thing. And some of that, you know, I don't know about, but rather than get myself into this, oh, this is going to be awful, just expect that you can't control what you don't know, and you don't know all the questions that are going to get asked in that situation. So it's taking the ones that you can and then being totally honest about, if you don't know the answer, actually just say the worst. And this is a tip for people out there listening to this. The worst that you can do is try and bullshit your way out of it. So had I done that, and this has happened before, where people are trying to sell a business or get investment, you bullshit, you will get found out. And that's true in any situation in life. So my advice to myself is just be very open, be very honest, give as much as you can to the best of your ability. And you know what? Don't worry about the rest of it.
That is such amazing advice. I think often we panic, don't we, that if we don't have the answer, that people are going to think that we're not very clever. Whereas sometimes saying, you know, it's a great question, I don't know the answer, but I'll find out and I'll come back to you, demonstrates that you can take control of a situation and you've got a level of confidence, even if you're not feeling confident in that moment.
Exactly. Yeah.
I could literally chat to you all day, but I'm really conscious that you've got to go to another meeting, and you've so kindly found this time for us. So thank you so very much. Just before we end, is there one tip that you could share with the people listening that says, you know, if you knew this years ago, you'd have got where you were much faster?
Being authentic. Simple as that for me. Being you, being true to your core values, and that's it.
Fantastic. Thank you so very much. It's been an absolute pleasure, and we'll speak soon.
All right. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thanks so much for supporting our show. Please do share this episode with your friends and business associates, and click the link below to subscribe to the podcast. Until next time, take care.